All right, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, April 14th, 2014, and it's 6:31 in the evening. Would you please take a moment to review the minutes and let me know if they meet with your approval for the March 24th, 2014 meeting?
I'm good with them.
Yeah, let them move up.
Everybody's good?
How do I think?
Okay. And the first order of business this evening will be the 2015 medical dental insurance renewal, and Lori Campbell is going to present that this evening.
Well, hopefully you have the board report in front of you that shows kind of the history, a little bit of the history about EDC and how we've been a part of the cooperative since 2010, but the cooperative has been in existence since 1984. They just celebrated their 30th anniversary. We joined back in 2010 because we were experiencing some ups and downs with our insurance performance, and so the decision was made to join the cooperative because it's a larger pool with the intent or the hope that that rates would stabilize, and we've actually found that to be the case. Most recently, we just got our renewal information for 14-15, and again, some really good news there. If you consider trend is 6%, our renewal rates look really good. For the PPO, we're looking at a renewal rate, a decrease of 0.67%. With the HMO, a decrease of 1%, and for dental, no increase at all for next year. The only other additional cost information that you would need to know is that we do need to make a change to our, we're going to need to make a change with our agreements with Guillen, with AFSCME, to rework the wording on what an out-of-pocket is, and that's to be compliant with the Affordable Care Act legislation. That new definition is going to go into play with any plans that begin, like for us, it'll be July 1st, 2014. So that 0.67 decrease includes the 0.34 increase that would be associated with just the PPO. Any questions?
Pretty much slam dunk.
Selfishly, are we eligible for this?
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty amazing. It's
been a great
experience. Board members, are we eligible for this?
No.
Can we vote?
Motion.
Got a lot of power.
It's been related for the district, so we're pleased with this information and glad to share it with you.
That where I remember when the annual renewals were much bigger,
correct,
and much larger, and this is, I don't see a downside with this.
No.
Our averages since we joined EDC have been just, under 5% across the board.
Whose idea was it to join?
Well, the information was brought to us actually by the Teachers Association. They were very interested in having us join, and then it was processed or vetted through both. We had two separate insurance reviews at that point, the AFSCME IRT and the GIA IRT, and both came together and we made the recommendation.
It was kind of unanimous. It was all.
There was some hesitation at that point because it was changed, but we were able to stick with our same plan design and our same insurer, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield. So, all right. Thank you very much.
Nice job. Thank you, Lori.
No problem. And thanks to Bob, too. He's my partner in this insurance work.
And I'll tell you, just to give you an example of what the financial implications are, whole dollars. Last Friday, Lori had put out the what do you want to call it, the program plan, and when we rolled that into the budget just this past Friday, it resulted in savings of around $100,000 in total. So it's pretty obviously a very nice renewal and a great plan that we're involved with.
Okay, so I'm lost on that. What did we save $100,000?
Basically, what we can do within Skyward is we can take our existing staff and the benefit elections that they've selected, and then we can do a mass change to project what the cost will be next year for insurance based on these rates. Now, it doesn't assume anybody making any changes, like during open enrollment, but at least the starting point, you know, for Bob to look at financially to say, well, what does this differential mean from a budgeting
more strategic plan. Assumptions.
Right.
With these numbers being rolled in.
And
because, as Lori said, oftentimes there's a lot of changes. Well, once the new enrollment comes up, families change,
right,
situations change. So it's an assumption we have going into our budgeting.
But Skyward allows us to do that, which is,
yep,
really nice.
So, Bob, what's our budget for the current year in terms of the the benefits?
The premiums are about $3.8, $3.9 million a year. So prior to doing that budget roll-in, it was X number of dollars, and then I rolled it all in Friday afternoon, and lo and behold, it was about $100,000 in savings.
I mean, when we originally budgeted, did we budget an increase for...
I always budget an increase anywhere from 4% to 6% when we're doing long-term financial projections. There, and you know what? 5, 6, 7 years ago, we were talking about 10 and 12% annual increases.
This is not usual. I mean, this is unheard of that these types of renewal rates. It's very decreases. That's unheard of.
But from a budget standpoint, it's creating a cookie jar.
What do you attribute it to?
Well, part of being in a larger pool helps us out because
We were in a larger pool last year.
And last year our increases for the PPO were 0.09%, the HMO was 2.8%, and dental was 1.8%. So part of it's your loss ratio, and part of it's the performance of the group. And then the EBC board also decided to buy down or use reserve funds to bring down the increases for a lot of the districts. So they brought it down to a net of zero, but we had performed even better than the center band, so that's why ours was a decrease.
And now, have they done that historically, or was that the first year?
It's a year-to-year decision based on what their funds look like and how the year has gone, and that's a decision that's made usually in April.
Is that the first time they've done that, or
the second time they've done that.
Second
that I know of with us.
Second and last 10 years, or whatever it's been.
There have probably been other times, but we've only been in the cooperative since 2010.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just talking about with
our
experience.
You're about 50%. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, then the next order of business then is the 2014-15 copier paper bid results. We went out to bid, and which is typical this time of year for copy paper, and the successful bidder, once again, I've been with them for several years, Emily Carolyn, Unisource. It's their alternate B for $27.45 a case for a total of expenditure of approximately $50,068. It's our recommendation that that the Finance Committee support our decision or our recommendation to move forward with securing the services of Unisource for next year. We intend to bring this to the April 28th meeting for discussion, April 28th board meeting for discussion, and the May 12th meeting for action. Any questions?
I don't have any.
And this is something we do every spring.
Bob, what was the bid last year? Was that or similar in terms of
26.20? Carolyn says so. We went up a little bit.
So we went up. We went up French one.
Yes.
Is there a recycle program with these guys, Bob?
We do some recycling within the building itself. They don't pick up our recycling. We do it with our waste hauler. Any other questions? Then the next order of business this evening then is the 2014 Mobile Classroom Relocation Bid Award Recommendation. This is bid packet 2. We have Jack Hayes with us here this evening to answer any questions that you may have. I wanted to let you know that we went out for a bid, and on March 14th those bid packages were returned to the district and FQC. FQC did their typical review in terms of ensuring that the bid packets and the recommendations were all in line with our expectations in terms of how these portable relocations need to be handled, if you will. And so there were a number of bid packets, sub-bid packets, as part of the major packet itself. They are listed on the board report as indicated. The total relocation, and these are what we're looking at now, is a temporary solution. Is going to be in the $256,866 range. That's what the bids came back at. This is part of the capital projects program, or actually the addition program that the board has seen over the past several months. This was part of the funds that were allocated for these portable relocations. and as part of the master budget that the board has seen previously. Our intentions are to bring this to the April 28th meeting, board meeting for discussion, and then approval on May 12th. Any questions?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
You go ahead. Oh. So what's the number that we're under? Let me rephrase it. I'm not trying to make a trick question here. We rejected 3 or 4 of these, and it came up with our number, right? 235, you said? I'm trying to fix my computer.
The bids came in at $256,000.
And how much in under budget was that?
Well, when we originally went out to bid for the bid packet number one, if you will,
yeah,
we came in $215,000 under what the original budget was. Is that about right?
Yeah, on the original
bid packet one.
But that's shouldn't be commingled with this.
Yeah, right.
I
totally agree.
Well, it's that.
Okay.
It's not our intention.
Yeah, because there's no correlation between them. Because that was bid for those trades, those line items, those two buildings.
So bid packet two came in.
What's the budget on this bid packet?
This bid package is the way it's currently configured. Is just a little bit over what was allocated for it. So there's about $20,000 difference between the two.
So there's a $20,000 increase to what was originally budgeted for these line items.
Yeah, but the issue with this one is we still have to do canopies.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the three things you rejected.
Yeah.
Right. We still have to do canopies. And so the part that we're trying to get some of that money back for now is through working through a rental of canopies rather than installation of canopies. Because what ended up happening is the canopies skewed this way off reasonableness by 6 figures. Okay? So what we're trying to do is come up with a solution that will deliver the same result, the same intent, but do it in a more cost-effective way. Because what was bid out was a canopy solution that could live for 20 years.
Right. You don't need it for 20 months.
And essentially, what we're trying to do is keep them rain off the kids' paths.
Right.
So we're trying to come up with a more cost-effective solution for the schools.
It'd be cheaper to buy everybody an umbrella.
And hire somebody to walk.
Walk with them.
And I got to be honest with you, Joe, we have been around and around on kind of necessity for these canopies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, knowing our community, because we were talking $150,000, $160,000, $170,000, especially for that canopy over at Forest Glen. But given our community, we're concerned about not being able to, or not providing that coverage.
I would be concerned of that, too. I wonder, is it a state requirement to have it? And if it is, can you get a waiver? Or we just do it because we do it?
I think we do it because we do it.
That's my understanding.
Well, then we balance the temporary structure safety against a kid getting wet.
Right.
So,
And whatever we put in structurally has got to meet wind load requirements.
Right.
It has to be
right
now. So, and so right now we have a rental scaffold type solution that you might be familiar with and looking.
Yeah, like downtown.
Like walking downtown.
those will be fun.
Hopefully it might be a little dressed up from that, but the end result, when you and I look at it, is going to look, as we know, that's going to be the type of structure that it is. To the other end, where we have a pre-manufactured white aluminum structure that, looks a little bit nicer, but we're still talking about probably 80 to 90% variation between those two costs.
I was going to ask the question. How many? I mean, it's got to be average. Why the kids are walking back and forth? How many days is there rain? Because obviously, is it snowing? We don't care like it is today. Kids will get hit by snow. No big deal. So, are we talking about $150,000 for 20 days of rain? Are we talking about?
You're talking a lot of money
for 20 days of rain. I mean, this isn't the monsoon season.
If we can go towards the one end of rental scaffolding, hopefully something that's at least reasonable looking, we're talking about somewhere around $45,000.
Okay, now
$15,000 for rental.
Still seems too high. I mean, we have to, if it's not a state requirement, we have to ask ourselves for 6 months, not Forest Glen, but for Lincoln for 6 months.
That's $15,000.
$15,000 for 6 months.
And that 6 month period is what to what again?
It's our dry season.
June 1st to January 1st
will be this season. So yeah, start school this season through
8/23, whenever school starts from that school calendar committee, all the way to January 1st when they Christmas break. Yeah. To me, I don't think you spend the money if you're not required by state. And I don't. People can write me emails and tell me, but that's just not sound fiscal responsibility.
Now, if I understood, and I'm the new guy here, so...
No, I'm the new guy.
Wrong, so, but there's another... I mean, we also have kids that leave the trailers and go back to the main facility for bathrooms.
For restrooms, for gym, for, you know, mm-hmm. music, art, lunch, whatever the case may be. I mean, those are...
Yeah, they move multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of them, I mean... You know what would be fun to do? Do a observe a couple of them during the rainy season this April, May. See how many stay under the canopies.
See how many have to go to the restaurant.
Joe, we have struggled with this because when we saw the sheer dollars that are involved.
When it's a long, if you're going to have them permanently like we've had since 2001, the temporary solution since 2001 for 13, 14 years, it's one thing because you can get, I mean, you get 20 years life out of it and you use it for 15, that's pretty good. You want more, obviously. But when you're going to use it for 6 months...
No, I mean, Forest Glen is for a year.
Right.
Forest Glen is for a whole school year, and the location of the trailers is...
Far.
It's out of Inclino.
Yeah. No, I understand. I didn't say... my mind's wrapping itself around that one, because that's very far away, and it's a whole year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, temporary is a good idea. I mean, I think if it's 45 and 15... You know, maybe we do have to consider it. Maybe we talk to the principals, see what their thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their thoughts are they want the kids protected. That's true.
Protected.
But I mean,
protected.
You know, I'm not trying to chintz out the linen here, but are you really protecting them? I mean, you got a 6 foot roof above your head. Rain doesn't come vertically down, right? Snow doesn't come vertically down.
You have them now.
Yeah, so we have them now.
You have them now.
That was the.
No, but you get, you're not pushing.
That's for a shorter span.
But you're not going to have a canopy. There's a canopy to the one. And
there's a canopy on every one of them.
Yeah. Including canopy.
Including the ones that got infested in Lincoln?
Yeah. We just took them down. We just took it down.
Boy, I just must have walked under them all the time and never paid attention during ice cream social.
We had them all.
I didn't need them
on the west and the north end.
I didn't need them on the ice cream social.
And so I mean, we're using what we can at Lincoln, but some of that has to come down to be able to take out and put in and do the work. And then, so the $15,000 at Lincoln would be, and please understand that I'm using round numbers.
I'm fine with that.
This isn't part of what's in the
numbers
here, but the $15,000 would be to finish the canopy from what can be saved to what will be the location of the movement.
And we can't save anything on this one?
No.
Forest Glen?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Going in different spots. It's going out along, essentially along the sidewalk.
But you can't reuse it.
Yeah, Elm and the other side street, Highland.
What's the budget we give the schools each year? For school money? I'm serious.
About $80,000.
Well, it's a lot of money for a temporary solution. And I want the kids to stay dry, too. But if it only rains, I mean, if we were somewhere where it rained every other day, then that's something you have to strongly consider. If it rains four times between September 1st and December whatever, they go to break, and I'm sure it rains more than that.
You will guarantee a rainy season, just so you know. But I absolutely get where
you're... Well, the farmers then will give us money to put up the canopy. I can tell you that.
I get a lot of calls from moms who were upset that kids even had to go out to the portal this winter because of the cold weather.
And we know the kids don't wear their jackets, and they should. And, hey, I drop my son off every Tuesday and Thursday. Not every, but a lot. And he's in the kindergarten room right where those portables are, where we're going to put the permanents.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the kids never have jackets. I mean, it's what everybody says. It's exactly what everybody says. It's no different, you know. And they're dodging around and... They're not staying on the sidewalks, and they're all having fun. They're kids. But anyways, I don't want them to get sick either.
But again, these are portable, temporary solutions also, not a permanent.
$15,000 for.
Yeah. Paul, I came to you month ago when they were looking at over $250,000 for a permanent solution. It's really just supposed to be a temporary portable.
Yeah,
so that's when we started to look.
That's why the original question is, how are we versus budget? It depends.
Well,
256 to today's budget, you're already...
We're a little bit over, but yeah. This is kind of a...
What was the budget on the canopies originally?
There wasn't a budget.
There wasn't a budget for canopies.
There was a budget to relocate mobiles.
Right, I got
you. There was some other money that was set for temporary relocation and some miscellaneous money. We're trying to use that money as cost-effectively as we can. So the one solution, the permanent canopy solution,
off the
can do it. Temporary canopy solution, if we do a midpoint, we're going to still probably be $20,000, $30,000 upside down on these line items. It's still available within the overall project budget, but right. We have to trade some dollars. If we go to a rental solution where we can do the scaffolding, now we're starting to look like we're at a wash, where we've got a solution that accomplishes the objective, and we haven't had to really trade any dollars.
When do you have to pull the trigger on that one?
On the
canopies?
Well, we don't check to move them.
Yeah, we're trying to come up with a solution, but we're trying to do something where we can do a rental to a scaffold company, and we can make that decision in tandem while these things are going on.
Okay. The temporary solution, no one's going to like. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, not the temporary, the scaffolding.
It's going to be.
I hate the word. Use the word eyesore. The kids are going to love it. Yeah, it's going to be like they're downtown walking underneath.
They're going to be able to climb on
jungle
those
gyms. Yeah.
I was just, as I'm thinking about scaffolding, is it easier on the weekends because as kids they're going to be at the schools, and on the weekends is
no
it going to be
easier than the fence that's on the existing canopies?
But I'm just thinking about the current tarps or canopies. They'd be fairly, unless you're going to climb up the pole. But are these, because when I'm thinking about scaffolding, I'm thinking about multiple ways to easily access.
No, these will be posts with the canopy on it, with probably just like a one cross member railing.
So they will be able to pop themselves on top of this canopy.
The one in Churchill has got the fence on the side.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, but nothing at Lincoln, nothing at Franklin. Forest Glen,
no,
just
posts on the top.
They're just posts on the top.
Yeah.
Fiberglass top, right?
So, you know, I think what we do is we continue to monitor this. We'll know more information when we bring it back to you on April 28th, and hopefully we can come up with a more definitive.
Well, it doesn't seem like you have to come up with an answer right away.
No.
So, really,
I mean, that's the good thing.
Because if it's the scaffolding, it's...
These
2 months away, you're going
to
be.
These things we have to come up with a decision on, because these are bids.
I'm talking about the canopy.
But the canopy part, we continue to work on it because financially it just doesn't make sense for us.
No, there's got to be something else out there.
The portables are coming out. You know, the Monday after school gets out, we're looking to move those, and then we'll continue to explore alternatives with these canopies.
The thing that keeps getting pushed back to me when we talk about these canopies is wind load. They got to be, whatever you put there's got to be able to be structurally sound enough to protect against them being torn out by
right.
wind. And other than that, it's just a cover. That's all it is.
Boy, I just think, like, how many feet? I mean, it's not even that expensive to have, you know, like, wood fences aren't that expensive. I know you need a top on it, but.
But these need to be certified. They have to go to the ROE, and they have to. Any architects have to sign off on it. Mm-hmm. We've had a little pushback from the architects on this conversation too.
You can imagine, right? So, you know, of course, how's it going to look? Well, I know it's not going to be the most
temporary solution.
It's a temporary solution.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the scaffold, and where we go with that solution, it would withstand whatever the
right.
wind tolerance would be.
Left by a big margin. Is what they do downtown.
Right.
I mean,
so
you gotta, if you do that, what you have to do, what I believe you have to do, is somehow integrate it into the school, for make it fun, make it, you know, where they, it's not a jungle gym, but you know, they could have graffiti on it, a mural on it, something like that, but then it becomes part of a project for stuff so that they embrace it.
I agree with you. I was even thinking, you know, like along the street at Forest Glen, you could put, like, you've seen them with the green fence on it, mm-hmm. you know, the wing fence. Well, maybe you get a color on it or something, or maybe you turn it into a graffiti project where the kids put their paint on it or something.
Yeah. So the Lincolns can put their leopard on it. You're smiling.
Because we're thinking of the neighbors across the street here.
Yeah. Well, in Lincoln, you don't have to worry about it.
No, Lincoln's a different story, but, you know, Forest Glen is right out, right on a residential street, so that's why Julia and I are kind of smiling.
All right, I knew there was a reason. I was trying to figure it out.
So.
I wasn't tired.
You knew there was something.
Our alarm was going off.
You think of something. You know,
well, I like mine. Just not for here. I mean, you got to have this. You have to have this. If the kids embrace it, then the parents aren't going to complain. You know, they're doing an art mural on it. You know, I think it's pretty cool. On your one bid, yep. Can I move on?
The one
you only have one bid on.
I keep.
How do you only get one bid on Earthquake? Everybody knows this guy's bidding. He's just that good, and they're like, I'm
everybody
not going
to. Knows that he's
going to get
it.
Job. Yeah, just so you guys know, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they know that one guy's doing it. They're like.
He's already doing $500,000 of work on the property.
He's got it.
He knows he's going to come up with the best.
Oh, and another bid he had won.
He won the first bid.
He won.
I got you.
So no one won.
That's good information, though.
But he didn't bid an alternate, right? Is that right? I'm going through my paperwork here. Thought I saw that. Yep. There's an alternate. It says no alternate, but I think that means he didn't bid it. And it's too small for me really to read it, especially when I'm in my reading glasses.
Yeah. He did not bid that.
And is that alternate, can that be done by different trades?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably be done by the utility contract.
Okay. And that's obviously important so that
right.
the guys can hold you over a barrel if they know they're going to do it.
Yep.
All right. Is there something on these tally sheets that you do that tells me that they were awarded something previously?
No, there isn't.
Is there something you can do? Because I can't memorize these two
items. Yeah, I was thinking, I agree with you. Because I think there's all but one of these contractors were the successful contractor on the site previously.
Right.
And I, for the life of me, I can't remember if it's demolition or landscaping, I believe, is the one that's I'll make sure I have that.
If there's something you could either put something underneath just or another, I hate to add another column to your stuff, but it, to me it was something that just marks. I mean, a lot of times that's what you're going to find anyways because for obvious reasons, the time is the scale, they want to do it, and all the rest, but it helps.
Sure can.
Thanks. That's all.
Any other questions on the portable relocation? All right, then the final order of business then is the 2014 miscellaneous trade bid award recommendation. And this are a couple of the things that either were bid previously, we decided to rebid them. If you'll notice, bid packet 3.12A, the casework, we needed to make some adjustments when the original bid packets came in. So there are three parts to this. Bid packet 3.09 was for the flooring. Two bids were received. FQC is still reviewing those bids and will be making a recommendation a little later in the process. The second bid packet was for the casework, and this casework came in at $65,562. And then the third bid packet was for the window roll shades, which was bid by Shadeology in the amount of $30,000. The total bids that we're bringing for your recommendation this afternoon, this evening, are for $95,562 and are within the budget that we have originally presented to the board. We'll be looking to bring this to the board for discussion on April 28th and for approval on May 12th. So we're looking for support of bid packet 3.12A as well as bid packet 3.12B. Any questions or comments?
Why did we rebid these?
We rebid the casework because there were too many questions that came in under the original bid packet, and the price differential was too extreme. So we wanted to make sure that we went out fresh bids, made sure everybody understood what our expectations were, and that we were bidding apples to apples. So that's why we decided to decline it during that first round and bid them back, bringing them back to second.
It was all of them were pretty similar. There was some the different all the three different bids. There were some inconsistencies, and that's why they were rebid.
Right. Yes.
Now, who did the original bidding? Was that?
There were two or three firms that bid it, and I don't recall.
Was that FGM?
They designed it. Bids,
what was the inconsistency from FGM?
I think a lot of the conversation came in around what's portable versus not portable, and I remember particularly. One vendor had a larger wheel that would lock in place, and the other vendor had a smaller wheel, but it was more portable. We were concerned about the equipment tipping over a lot of different issues that once we got the bid packets in and reviewed them, there were too many open-ended questions left there for us to be willing to just give you a solid recommendation and make a decision on it. So we thought we'd take our time, go back, the architect put some revisions in the bid packet, FQC took it out, and this is the result of that additional work.
So FGM did a new bid package.
I would say they more clearly defined the expectations in the original bid package.
Okay. What was the cost of them rebidding, preparing the new bid packages?
I don't know. Okay. If there was any cost, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, that's something I would want to know.
Sure.
Since I don't think at this point it's not on us. It's not on the district. So if FGM charged us to clarify their original bids, I'd like to know what that cost was.
Okay. We'll ask that question.
I mean, you're right. It may be zero.
I don't know what it is, to be perfectly honest with you, but I will ask the question.
Okay.
Then we just have a couple more minutes left because you have a public meeting. I did want to let you know that at the next finance committee, we'd like to start at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of important issues that will be coming up in the next few board meetings. It's rather typical for this time of year. We have your 2015 tentative budget. That work is just about complete, and you're going to be seeing what that looks like on the 28th at the Finance Committee meeting. But also I want to make you aware of, because of a lot of things that have transpired this year around capital projects and the borrowing program, we're going to be required to file an amended budget, a 2014 amended budget. So at your next meeting, you're going to have a couple of pretty significant issues. That will be the 2014 amended budget and a 2015 tentative budget. Regarding the amended budget, we need to take that to the Finance Committee on April 28th. And then we have to go through the normal posting. What we'll do is we'll take it on April 28th. We'll bring it back to the first board meeting in May for discussion and authorization to post the budget, the amended budget. The amended budget needs to be posted for 30 days for public inspection, and it needs to be approved by that last meeting. I believe I have it scheduled for June 23rd or whatever that particular board meeting is. That last board meeting in June, we have to approve the 2014 amended budget. Okay? To just give you just a quick update, the 2015 budget we're going to bring to you on April 28th. Give you your first opportunity to take a look at it. Then that's going to probably die down for a couple weeks or a month or so. We'll bring it back to you, I believe, at the second board meeting. I need to strategically lay that out, too, because I'm going to be gone that second board meeting in May with a personal commitment. So what we have to do is things need to be laid out in a specific timeline, and there's 30-day posting requirements. So we need to get everything for the amended budget posted and approved by the end of June. But we have a lot, we have some time, or a lot of time, a few months, with the 2015 tentative budget. We'll bring it to you on April 28th. We'll bring it back to you again in May for discussion. Then we'll bring it back to you again in June, where you will give us sort of your blessing on where the tentative budget is. Then we go out and we post the budget for 30 days. And then, you know, we don't have any board meetings in July. Then we'll bring that budget back to you again in August, and we would look for approval either at that first or second board meeting in August, just in terms of how everything plays out. I don't know the specific dates yet.
Bob, are you asking if we want to have a... You want to have the next finance meeting at 6 o'clock?
Correct.
Yes, I would say we need it at 6 o'clock because there's two pretty significant issues in front of us.
That's the 28th.
What do you guys think? Are you guys good with it?
28th?
Yes, it is.
I'm fine.
6 o'clock?
I'm not happy with it. I'm eating my dinner here.
Six but you're eating with us.
What is your dinner? That's really good.
Yeah, it's nice. Really, I'm fine with that.
All right. Okay. Good.
So I just wanted to give you a plan in terms of what things are going to look like in the next couple of months. You're going to have a lot of information coming at you. Again, it'll be an amended budget for 2014 and an intended budget for 2015.
Okay, I have a question before we move on. Because last meeting, when Mike was presenting, he talked about, and Patrick made a request regarding some savings that we were going through because of some of the recommendations. And we asked for it in a report. You know, we said, here, we saved $100,000 here, we saved $2 here, and all that. I believe, and Patrick, you requested it, but we didn't see it. And I think it's for discussion items on today's board meeting. Are you prepared to deliver what they said?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't put it in a report fashion. But right. I can email you the line items where we'll see some reduction.
Okay, well, I think that'd be very important to do before we vote on it. There was a request that was made here. I thought it was a great request. It's something that this finance committee wants to see. Wants to see the tallies. If you're made, we ask Jack the same type of questions, where we're coming up and where we're coming down, so that we can see it. And I'd like it, but before it becomes a discussion item, I don't think that's too much of a request for next time. But it's a practice and pattern that we got to get into. And you guys kind of now have a feel for us. Almost a year now with this committee, and we're good together for another year, right, guys? So
yep.
we're pretty consistent. So if we can do that when we ask for it, I think charts and numbers are our cup of tea. So we'll bring them on. Thanks.
But that's the parlay and bottom. I'm not trying to torpedo any April 28th discussion, but the budget, You say there's a little bit of time. I have a feeling we're gonna chew on that thing all summer. So,
sure.
How it's presented and how, we've all talked about it, the holistic view and how this is all tied together and technology and resources. So, don't want to steal your thunder, but
no. Well, Paul and I have been working. Well, actually, the team has been working since January on this budget, and Paul brought some good thinking to the table. And one of the sort of the final pieces he's asked for is a comparative analysis, almost. And I won't say line by line because I've got 2,500 lines in my budget, but I will tell you that there's a line by line analysis for 100 or 150 lines. Like we do everything according to function and objects. And a function code could be, regular instruction or gifted instruction or any one of those things. And you'll see a comparison between what we spent in 2014 and what the budget is for 2015.
I believe you'll be pleased with the results of our work.
Great.
All right. I think we should break because we're going to be starting up again here in a couple minutes.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
So we're adjourned.
Thanks.